everyone. So welcome to the first episode of Java and the Librarians. And today we're going to be talking and discussing all our feels and opinions on Throne of Glass. So I'm just going to go around and introduce ourselves. I'm Erica. I have a blog called Highway-YA, and I do have all of our information in the description bar. And I'm also a teen librarian. So shoot it on.
I am Julie, and I am on BookTube as Pages and Pens. I believe that that's also linked down in the description below. And I have been a BookTuber since September and just loving talking about books.
Hi, I'm Lauren. I'm a reference librarian at a library. I'm also run an LGBT book club.
Okay, cool. So let's start off with our thoughts on this book. If you're part of that 1% that did not read the book like us, I'll give you a little bit of rundown about it. It's about this girl named, and you gotta tell me if I pronounce these names wrong because I know I'm gonna butcher them. Selena, Kalina. I want to say Kalina, but
I think it's Selena.
Selena. She is in.
Yeah, I always flip between Selena and Selena.
Yeah, that's kind of what I wanted to say. But she's in this prison that the king sent her to. And I think like the first day that she got there, she got like 21 lashes, I think, on her back. But she's sent there. And the prince of Adderlin, or Darlin, one of those, comes to her and he gives her this offer of a chance to get her freedom, come fight in his little competition to be the king's champion. And once she accepts that and she becomes a king's champion, she can win her freedom. By there. So that's basically the gist of it. So like, what were your guys' thoughts and feels on this? I did have a couple of problems with it, but overall it was okay.
I think we all kind of had problems with the book. I think we all had things that we were okay with the book. It's just a matter of how okay we were versus what our problems were. Like, I liked the start of world building and the start of character building, but at the end it felt kind of predictable. But I mean, I kept going back to, well, it's a good start, and because of that I probably rated it higher than you guys did.
Yeah, I think that in terms of pros, I actually really did like seeing more of the like full world building that took place, because for those you guys don't know, for those of you that don't know, none of you know yet. I did start off with Assassin's Blade. So I read the set of novellas first before reading Throne of Glass, which is like highly debated, but I did. So I already knew a little bit about Selena and some of the characters and a little bit about the world. But I think that that was one of the things I appreciated most about Throne of Glass, was that it was slower paced than the novellas, but you got a lot more of a full view of what the world looks like, the political, you know, situation looks like. So I appreciated that, I think, most about this particular book.
And I still need to go back and read the novellas. I think I'm the only one of our group that hasn't done that yet. But between stuff that I started before Throne of Glass and book club stuff, I've just gotten sidetracked, so adulthood, right?
Yeah, I started the novella. I didn't finish it yet. I'm almost done with it. But yeah, I agree with y'all with the setting. Like at the very beginning, it started off okay, and then it just kind of dwindled down some. And like with the, like you said, with the novellas, I was trying to read them at the same time, and I could really see the difference in them, especially in the writing. And because it's a novella, it's a short story, so it has to have a lot within, you know, a certain amount of pages with it. But the world building, I wish there was a little bit more in it. And then, like I said, at the end, I didn't really connect with that part of it towards the end of it. So,
yeah.
But like the characters, what do you all think of like the characters?
Um, Okay, so I know I mentioned to you guys earlier in the week a potential rant. In terms of characters, that is my rant. I really just thought Dorian was a useless character. I mean, he wasn't useless in that, you know, he was the other love interest. He brought Selena in. So there was that point. But, I mean, he was just that pretty preppy boy that we all knew in high school who was, like, captain of the football team and everybody fawned over. And, yeah, that guy. Like, but he was – went from that to his dad left the country, left him in charge, and he had no real training to be a ruler. His mother, who should have been teaching him how to do this stuff while the king was gone, was more interested in him finding a wife and, you know, getting married. And, you know, and not really teaching him what he needed to know. And the only two times in the book that Dorian seemed to have any kind of backbone at all was when he was trying to get his mother off the train of thought of it's time to get married and find somebody to love you for the rest of your life and help you rule. And the one time that he was trying to stand up for Selena with the king.
Yeah, I think that's valid. And I also think that that's a part of, at least because I have read past that now, I've read through Crown of Midnight. I just started Air of Fire. So I think that a part of that is probably just to understand how completely closed off he felt, like how constrained he felt by his father's expectations. What is that feedback? So I think that there's definitely some building that took place there to kind of see what he has to overcome to break away from his father.
And I can totally accept that. Like I said, I could see that there was character building, and maybe he'll become less useless, for lack of a better phrase, down the road.
Yeah, I didn't really have a problem with Dorian. At first, I did think he was like a useless character. So I didn't really want to see him with Selena, but I really felt like that relationship with them two, it kind of grounded him in a sense, as well as kind of probably motivated him to stand to his father more based on hanging out with her more. But I like Kale. That's who I like.
I think Kale is a better fit for Selena. And I think Nehemria, I think that's how you say it, but I also feel like I'm saying that wrong. The one from Illyria, no, Elway, that's where she was from. The one from Elway was a better fit for Dorian because she was self-possessed. She was also a fighter, but she also kind of came from a similar world that Dorian came from. So if we're looking at the relationship stuff, I feel like the two that were kind of sort of dating probably shouldn't end up together because there are better fits for them elsewhere.
Yeah, I could see that. I don't know. I think I'm like one of the very few people that reads YA and never gets into ships. Like, I don't care who ends up with who most of the time. Whatever the author decides, whatever the author writes is usually fine with me. But I know that some people get like hardcore ships they feel the best. But what are you gonna do?
Yeah, I really like Mikael and Kalina, the song. I really feel like their relationship, like he was the one that kind of pushed her, made her better. I really liked this scene between them when the king was coming in, when they were all surrounded together, and Kane made some kind of slur remark to her. He was staring at him, and Kale said, save it. Save it for the ring. If you want to beat him, beat him then. And he told her that she didn't need to be rescued. And so I really like her as a person. And just because she was female, she wasn't a damn and needed somebody to always come in right here. As well, so I really like him as a character in that aspect of it. And he did show a little bit more like that towards later on in the story.
I also really liked that Selena was not a damsel in distress.
I do too. And I think that that's one of the reasons that I like Kale so much with her is because he understood that warrior side of her. Like, he understood that side of her mindset. But I do think that Selena as a character is two very different people. She is the warrior, and then she's also this girl that likes to look pretty and likes to have the best finer things in life. And that was one of the things that people really complained about when I was originally reading reviews about the book, is why she was this flighty girl who was still obsessed with the way she looked, if she was supposed to be this badass assassin. But I love that she's both of those things. And I think that every woman can be both of those things. So I love it that she was written that way. And I think that Dorian really did speak to that part of her that wanted to be a part of the royalty. And then Cal really spoke to the side of her that needed to shut down and just focus and find it goal that kind of kept her alive. So I think that each of them kind of had their own benefits to each side of her. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm. She's 17 or 18, but she's still kind of an old, and she's part of her, still a kid. You know, mm-hmm. And she got arrested when she was like 16, I think. Throughout the course of this season, she'll kind of act kind of little childish ways with her, clothing, the candy scene. I was like, oh my gosh, with the candy.
That was so cute.
It was.
Yeah, I think that it's easy to forget, especially when characters are written really maturely, is their actual age. But you figure she was orphaned at 8 and on her own and trained to be an assassin. Mm-hmm.
So, and she'd also spent time in jail.
Yeah.
So the part that I was excited for was the competition. Like the first one was Archie. I was expecting a little. But the second one, they had to climb a 90-foot wall and stuff. I was literally on the edge of my seat with them and fighting in these competitions.
Yeah, I thought the competitions were cool too. I think I was more into the competition with the poisons though, and how they were kind of, a couple of them were kind of eyeing each other to see what they picked and make sure they were picking the right things.
Yeah, I felt like it was, I don't know if you guys read Three Dark Crowns by Kendra Blake, but it was kind of touted as this competition between three sisters for the crown where they had to like fight to the death, and that was the synopsis of the book, and none of that happened. So I almost felt like this particular book had this same vibe where it was supposed to be this epic competition for the king champion, and then so little of the book was actually about the competition.
It was about the parties and the clothes.
Yeah, it was about a whole lot of other stuff, which was fine, but there really wasn't that much of a focus. Like, each of the competitions were really short little passages, and even the time between training was like, oh, it's been a week, time for the next one.
Or it'd be like 5 pages of actual training, and then they're back at, oh, time to go hang out with my friends.
Yeah. But having read the novellas, I was happy to see her develop some friendships, because obviously letting people in is not an easy thing for her. So it was really nice for me to see her be able to like interact with other people.
Well, I got the feeling from the beginning of the book that she wasn't a friend type of person, like that she didn't let people in. So I agree 100% that it was fantastic to see her actually going up to people and, excuse me, and attempting to make friendships or having people force friendship upon her.
Yeah, I think that's probably really easy to get into her. It's just to like, feel like I'm here and I'm not going anywhere. I have a choice. I feel like I'm going to be fine.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, with the murders, those were some of the scenes. Like, and Hess was opened up and then Tess was thrown out and stuff. And I had to skip through that way.
I'm sorry, I don't know about anybody else, but you broke up really bad for me. I didn't hear
anything. Yeah.
Wait, which part? About the...
Any of it.
Okay. And disclaimer, we may have a little bit of technical difficulties, just bear with us. But I was talking about the murders that was going on within the book and stuff. Like, what would you all think about that? Especially when you found out that Kane was murdered. It was kind of predictable a little bit, but I was really rooting for somebody else with it.
That was one of those things where, yeah, it was a little predictable, but at the same time, I liked that she at least tried to throw monkey wrenches into the predictability of it by, oh, well, it could be this person. And you're sitting there going, oh my God, how did I not know that they knew that?
Yeah. For me, I did call who it was, but at the same time, I think that that particular section of the book was one of the most frustrating to me because it was an immediate introduction to like a magic system that I didn't understand and I felt like wasn't explained well because the characters didn't even understand it. So there was no kind of like overseeing narrator to kind of explain how the words worked, because I read it differently. Well, when I looked at the pronunciation guide, it said it was pronounced words.
Yes, yeah, that's awesome.
Yeah, so the little symbol. And for me, there was no explanation about, first of all, in the novellas, like you really don't get a sense of the fae or magic or any of that kind of stuff. So everything for that was in this book, and it was really kind of minimal. So when the murder started happening, but like attached to stuff that was magical, I was lost.
Yeah, I was lost on that part too.
And it seemed like the one person in the book that understood anything about the words or the fae or really anything magic was unwilling to discuss it, which added to the frustration level, whereas there's somebody that clearly knows and can give not only the character's understanding but the reader understanding, and she's just not going to talk about it.
No. And I think that that was in large part, too, because of how much fear the king had instilled. Like, he banished magic, any discussion of it. But at the same time, if you're introducing these things to the reader, at some point you have to let a character kind of let some information slip, because I had no idea what was taking place.
Yeah. Or have them find a book or something.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. So I think it took me out of the book a little bit. Like, it took me out of the storyline. I don't like as a reader when I don't understand things. This is why I don't like unreliable narrators or Gillian Flynn, because if I don't know what's going on, it's not fun for me.
Fair enough.
I do not like when books make me feel stupid.
See, and I didn't mind it because, you know, I figured, at least in this case, it was going to get explained either in book two or that something was going to be said or maybe, hopefully, by the end of the book, we'd be made to understand, which unfortunately was not the case. Mm-hmm. What really just drove me nuts, especially towards the end, was just the sheer predictability at the end. We all knew that Selena was going to win. We all knew that Kane was going to be the killer. We all knew that maybe she and Cole were going to skip off into the sunset holding hands, which is kind of sort of what they did. Not fully, but...
I felt like, when it was predictable that Kane was it, I felt like the whole time, I thought maybe it was Knox. Because he was the one that wanted to get close to her. They formed more of a friendship out of all the other champions. And I thought that if, you know, if she were to end and he was the killer, that made it less predictable. And then turned everybody from a different direction as well.
Yeah.
So. You know what? I probably would have been really sad if Knox had been the killer, because I really like Knox, and I probably invested in more in him than I probably should have as a secondary character. Yeah. But I was really hoping he would make it through to the end. I mean, I'm glad that he actually survived the book.
Yeah.
Which, yeah, is fantastic. But what kind of ticks me off is that he ran away, and that's how he survived. Granted, he did it because his best friend in the whole thing told him to run away, and I'm really hoping he makes appearances in other books. Like, really, really hoping, because I think that's a great friendship and he could potentially help her out. But in terms of Knox, I was really hoping he'd make it to the end of the competition. And in my ideal world, they would have made it to the end of the competition. Selena would have become the assassin. And somehow she would have brought him on board as something. I mean, obviously that wasn't going to happen. But like I said, my ideal world for this book would have gone down that road rather than Knox running away.
Yeah. In one of the reviews that I read, actually, somebody was irate that they lost because earlier in the competition, like I think one of the first challenges, somebody tries to run and immediately gets an arrow through like the neck or something.
Yeah.
And dies. So they're like, how is it that the guards were so on top of all of them? Like not just during the competitions, but just on top of all of them to make sure they didn't run. And then he's able to sneak out of a heavily guarded castle without anybody knowing. I'm like, because good point. That's how she wrote it.
Good point though. I mean, I can't defend it.
Yeah. Like, he snuck straight out of the castle.
That is, yeah, 100% accurate. Like I said, I can't defend the fact that every single other person that attempted escape died. Arrows in necks, stabbings, word marks, all of that.
And it's not like she has access to one of the
swims emotes.
You know, like, he just made a run for it.
Yeah. He found a tunnel. He swam a moat, like, something. He, like, had the simplest exit, got out. Just, yeah.
Yep, just left.
Just took off.
Maybe he was, like, so much simpler than he probably just took, like, the simplest escape route and nobody thought, like, exiting the front door.
He just walked right out.
And walked right out. Nobody thought anything of it. Oh, he's clearly running an errand.
Yeah, it was like a sentence, though. It was just like, and he got away. Yeah. I'm like, oh, what?
And it was so weird because when they found the murder, people got killed. They came to the competition. But when not ran away, they kept going with it. And I was like, it's kind of, we didn't die, but it's kind of with the same little protocol thing. I thought that was weird.
I think one of the things, too, in terms of the love triangle, but getting back to that really quick, that drove me crazy. I think I mentioned it in my good news review, and it was one of the only things that I felt, like, super strong about was how quickly she would flip-flop between feeling so strongly for each of them. Because I think during the dance, that they went to, that she, like, snuck down to. She's literally, like, just touching hands with Kale and saying that she's, like, electrified and so intrigued by him. And then Dorian walks up and dance and she spends the rest of the night with him. like thinking how beautiful he is. I'm like,
that seemed very high school to me.
Yeah. And that's what I hate. Like, when figure out what it is that you want. I want to strangle them when they do this.
And it almost seemed too high school for the character, because, yeah, like we said, she was probably one of the most mature YA characters I've read in a while. And here she is having the, oh my god, Dorian's so hot. Oh my god, Kale's so hot. Holy moly, girl, just...
Yeah.
Pick one.
And she never even thinks to herself, like, he understands this side of me, he understands that side of me. She never even differentiates between why she feels a certain way for each of them. She's just like, he's so hot, he's so, like, what?
There's no thought.
One paragraph, you went from, like, electrified by his touch when he just brushed your knuckle to dancing with this one.
Yeah.
I think there's something wrong with her nerve ending.
Nothing a good therapist can fix.
As a reader, though, it's one of the things that can make me distrust a character when they're so flighty in their own emotions and thoughts.
Yeah, I get that.
Yeah. So, like, another character that I kind of had a love-hate relationship with, and I felt I didn't even need to hear was
Kelton.
Caitlin.
I think she was Harriton.
I know, that was a weird relationship. She was the one who quizzed Selena at the end of the competition. And she made me remember something one of my own professors told me, like, put it to the background characters, because you never know what they're thinking. And throughout the whole time, I was here from you. I was like, why are you here? I don't need your voice or not. And then at the end, I was like, okay, this is why I'm here, because how did just the whole thing, like,
in her life, when she went to the Duke and was like, hey, what happened? You gave me this one.
Like, what's this mean?
And they used her as, like, the bait to try to figure out
how to kill her, or, you know, whatever they got doing, the next book, they think after it.
Yeah, she definitely does dress up in the next book.
I can't wait to read the next one.
It's so good. But yeah, I think that was one of those situations where you just don't know what you're getting into when you're in a court. And I love that about court intrigue. But it also goes crazy about her character. Because for me, it was pretty clear that nobody was really that fooled by her game of flirting with the Duke, but then also wanting the prince and being jealous and wanting the prince. So for me, that was just kind of, like, ridiculous to me. I'm like, people can see through you. You are not that good at what you're trying to do right now. But yeah, it didn't surprise me at all, because nobody is going to, you know, nobody of royal blood or whatever is going to put their neck on the line to try to, you know, they're going to find a patsy. So, and I didn't feel bad for her. I never feel bad for girls that behave like that.
Well, I didn't feel bad for her because she got what she deserved. Like, she needed that. But the fight, with that whole, like, from the last battle to the end, that was so intense. And my heart broke for Selena, because the amount of pain that she was experiencing with that just was crazy. And I was really hoping, like, somebody please come out and save her and whatnot. And when the first queen, oh my god, I can't even think of her name, came, and she was like, well, I can't take the pain away or something like that, but I could take the poison away. I was so happy when she finally came and did that.
Yeah, she's definitely been through so much, and I think that's one of the things that I really admire so much about her as a character, and I don't even get mad at it, is how many times she is just absolutely beaten down until you think that there's no chance she's going to get up, and then she continues to get up, which I do love about her. And I don't think that trope is ever going to get old for me. Like, that writing style is never going to get old for me for her, because I believe it about her, especially after reading the novellas. Like, I believe it about her that she can get that knocked down and still fit
up. Oh yeah, Selena is totally a scrapper, and I kind of love it. And I mean, there's part of me that's like, we need more female characters that are just that, you know, that can take kind of the emotional punches and keep going. Because I mean, it is somebody that exists in the real world, but it doesn't always translate to books, which is kind of unfortunate.
Yeah.
And also, even like when she had this slight moment that, especially after Kane showed her like a reflection of like her parents died, stuff that she didn't tell anybody.
Yeah.
And she had this slight moment of thinking about giving up, and how Kale just sat there and was like, get up. Like, had to remind her, like, you are an assassin. You're like the best of the best. Get up, you know, do what you know you need to do. And that little moment right there made me respect him even more as a character, and how he just motivated her to do what she knows she needed to do.
Yeah, I really don't care about her. I fall in love with him in that moment.
Yeah, Kale is one of those characters where, you know, in book one, I don't think I like him as a character. I don't necessarily love him, if that makes sense. But I could totally see myself if by the end of the series, I would totally be in love with this fictional character.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think he's kind of perfect for her.
Yeah. And then and I really feel like, because, you know, Dorian and Kale are really close, and I just have a good feeling that it's just going to part way. Hey,
this is totally going to explode.
Julie's looking like, just wait.
This is totally going to explode on them. Like, there is no way this love triangle isn't just going to blow up in everybody's faces. And I'm kind of, there's a big part of me that, you know, while I don't necessarily care about relationships and say YA books, there's a big part of me that's waiting for this train wreck just to be able to. I realize that sounds awful, and I apologize to all the little 15-year-olds out there that might be watching this right now, but this is going to be amazing.
Yeah. Yeah. There's no way that that ends well when you have, first of all, like, two friends that are, like, brothers who both like the same girl. Two, when one of those is technically your boss and, like, the future leader of the nation and, like, presides over you that greatly. You know, so, it comes down to a girl's got a right to choose, but, I mean, in general, when you're looking at that situation unfolding and seeing Kale give her this ring, Dorian see the ring and ask where she got it from, she's not telling the truth, you know, like, which she doesn't have to.
And she's still such a horrible liar, too, like, so bad. I found it. Like, it just kind of magically appeared.
Yeah.
Yeah, like when she had on that locket that the queen gave her. It's and he kept asking her about it. And I forgot what she said, but he was looking
at her. Yeah, she said it was a really good knockoff, like a really good replica. I'm like, no.
Yeah. He just started telling the story about the necklace, and she was like,
Yeah.
Like, okay. You need to find something else to kind of tell him how you got this or what it is or something, because he's caught on to it.
Yeah. Yeah, and that, which kills me for somebody who has to kind of mislead people, especially being an assassin for some of her hits. You know, she's got to play this role and be the actress, and then she's just awful at lying. Like, she gets caught on these little moments and little questions, and she can't improvise on the spot. I'm like, how do you do your job?
Yeah.
Very well, apparently, according
to the book. Very well, yeah.
But yeah, and
then, you should be able to lie a little bit quicker.
And also when you said about the train wreck, Lauren, like, it was a train, it was going to be a train wreck from the very beginning, because when Dorian first started having feelings for her, I was like, this cannot happen, because she is going to, if she wins, she's going to be your father's champion, and you're the prince. That's not going to work out. And I was so happy when she finally came to her senses at the end and were like, this, we can't continue this anymore. And he was persistent. He was like, we can do this in secret and whatnot. And she was like, no, this it can't work.
No.
I at least have to give him credit for his persistence, for the sheer fact that, I mean, nothing worth getting in life, if books have taught me anything, nothing worth getting in life or in fictional life is, you know, worth getting if you don't try for it and keep trying for it. But at the same time, it's going to be just a marvelous train wreck in the next few books. Or maybe he'll also come to his senses and be like, she's really good at her job, and I'm really not good with that person. I'm much better with the crazy little pawn person over here, or the person who's now become my family's ward.
I think one of the things, too, that they never talk about, which kind of also surprised me, because even, like, completely non-spoilery, this isn't something that they even explore that I think should have been, was how manipulative and just violent and unethical the king is. And if he had any clue how his son felt about her, she would have absolutely used that against his son, because his son was definitely, you know, disappointing to him, not ruthless enough for him, not, you know, wasn't plotting and scheming the way he wanted him to. So, you know, anything like that is bound to end poorly. Like, I understand that she's this badass, like, assassin, but at the same time, it's going to be your father's champion. It's your father's possession then at that point, and can absolutely be used against you if he sees any sign of weakness. So for me, that was another thing that it, you know, she kind of hinted at when she finally broke things off, like, it just can't work. But it was more like, you're the prince and I'm not. I'm just this lowly assassin that's been in prison. And it's like, no, I mean, yes, but also just how dangerous of a situation that would have been for both of them, the like pawn that they would have given the king if he ever found out. And he would have. It's his castle.
Well, like, and I mean, but how unobservant does that make him at this point? I mean, granted, a good chunk of the book, he was just quite literally out of town. Mm-hmm. But in the moments that he was there, how unobservant does that make this ruthless, manipulative person, if he can't even see how into a girl that is living under their nose his son is?
Kind of in the end, when he finally gave her a certificate for being a champion, he kind of caught on maybe a little bit as to his Dorian having feelings for her, because he said if she didn't return back from the mission, he was going to kill Kale. And Kale is Dorian's best friend, and the king knows that. So that's his way of kind of hurting Dorian as well as Selena, or Kalina, however you say her name. And he was going to kill off...
basically, he was the king was going to kill all of her friends, though. And he wasn't so into the... I'm going to have to look up how to pronounce the name, but she wasn't so into the other princess that was there. And so he might have been catching on a little bit by starting with Kale, but when you see him go down the list, I question how much he was catching on, because it becomes very much centered around Selena of, if you don't come back, if you don't succeed, if you don't do X, Y, and Z, the first person that dies is your little boyfriend, who is also the best friend of my son. Then it's going to be your friend and her entire family, and this person, and this person. And it basically just goes down the list of everybody that means anything to Selena.
Yeah, I don't think that he would have necessarily killed his son to kind of get back at her, but I do think that it would have been, hey, I'm going to send her away on this mission to assassinate this person. It's going to get rid of her. She won't be in the castle for the next 9 months. Something just to kind of get back at his son. I think that there's definitely ways that he would have found ways to use their relationship, but you're right. I think at the end he did kind of see some hints of at least affection, but I don't think he ever understood too, because really I think that he dismisses his son a lot. Like, I just don't think that he sees him as a valid, you know,
anything really, prince, person, anything. Son. Yeah.
So I think he pays attention to him when he has to, or when they're like in a meeting or something, but I don't think he's really paying much attention to him outside of those events to really see. But he would have eventually.
Julie, I found that pronunciation guy that you sent us. The person I keep trying to reference but can't pronounce the name of is Nehemia Yetger, the other princess.
Yeah.
From
That is not how I read it.
Yeah, no, not at all. Like, I'm so glad you sent us the guide, because every time I would go through a name, like, for one, the country name, Adderlan, I kept wanting to call it Alderaan. And I'm like, that's Star Wars, not the right series.
Yep.
And like,
yeah,
I
found that last night and I sent it over because I was saying like Nahemia or Nemia. I don't know what I was saying in my head, but it wasn't that.
For some reason, I remembered seeing the guide, so I was trying to pronounce it like off the guide, but I think when I read it, I kept going Nema. I don't know why. I would drop like four letters in that name, which wasn't great at all.
That's how I was saying her name the whole time. I was just like, you know what? I know what this is, so I'm just going to go with it.
Yeah, I had at least a little bit of an idea about some of the pronunciations because I have been so addicted to BookTube for so long, and everybody talks about this series. But I also really tried to not watch too many, knowing I hadn't read them yet, because there's only so much you can do to avoid spoilers. So I had a vague idea of some of the names, but I definitely looked them up. And even while reading, looked some up, because I was like, I don't know what I'm reading.
Yeah. I mean, some of these names I got right, like Elway, I got right. I got Endover instead of Endovir.
Yeah, but it's not. It's Endovir. I never got that.
Yeah, I wouldn't have gotten the second and third E in there. Word really threw me because, like, I have an English degree. And so when I read it in the old English of weird rather than word.
Yeah. Oh, my brain just really messed that word up because I think I was reading it as like ward.
Oh, I was so off.
It never was. But that's what I was doing.
Pronounce it how it was spelled. I was so far off.
Yeah, I would not have guessed an O in that word at all.
No. But I think that honestly, that whole, and I can kind of get over the pronunciations because I'll never get it right. Like for the rest of me reading this series, I'll always think it was whatever I thought it was when I first started reading it. I don't care how many times I see the guide. But I think that was my major like pros and cons. Like my con really was her flip-floppy, and then just the magic system being thrown at you and not explained like drove me bananas, especially the words. I was like, I don't understand this.
Yeah, the words didn't bug me as much. I mean, for somebody who has an English degree, when I'm reading, I am perfectly fine learning a word how I read it. Like I'm okay with that. Yes, I have an English degree. I probably should be more into this is how it's said, blah blah blah. I'm ideal. But what really drove me nuts, I gave it a 4 on my Goodreads, and that's because, you know, I really liked the world building. I liked where the character development was going, especially towards the end. What drove me nuts is for how mature the main character was, the whole thing was just so very high school. Just so high school. And number two, just the predictability, especially at the end. Like, I could see it getting further, you know, going down the road. I could see kind of the world. But then it's like, of course she was going to win this. Of course this person was going to run. Of course, just throw me a monkey wrench, please. So that way I want to keep reading and find out why that happened and who it happened to. And basically everything, you know, all that stuff.
Yeah, I gave it a 3.5 stars. It's like, it didn't really start to pick up with the story until within the middle. It's like it would get into the action with it, and it'll pull it back. And it would do it again, but it had long little stretches before it did that. And that's kind of why I gave it 3 stars. And then, like I said, with some of the characters, I could not really get through. Like, I'm more of a person who connects with the characters. If I can connect with the characters, then the plot will be okay to get into. I'm not more of a plot driven person, but that's some of the reason why I gave it a 3.5 stars. And then the predictor, it was predictable as well.
Yeah, and I ended up giving it just like a 3 flat because it really wasn't close enough. Like, I try not to do like the half stars just in terms of like the Goodreads ratings. So instead of going 4, which I didn't feel like it was, I went 3. And that really for me was just kind of like the back and forth, the slower pace of the world building. And again, I think a lot of that is probably having read the novellas first, which I really, really loved. I ended up giving them 5 stars and I gave this one 3. But just because I know you guys want to continue with the series, I did give the next one a 4, so it got better than this one.
Yeah, I'm going to continue with it as well. And I think, because I think I mentioned it to both of you all, I know after Julie, I made a mistake and read her second series first. And the writing, her writing is amazing in that series. And oftentimes I find myself comparing it to her second one, and I should not have read that before I got getting into this. So now you know, do not read the second set of series before you read the first one, because you will find yourself doing it, and it's not fair because you'll find yourself rating it on that other type of scale as well.
Yeah, I'm actually really nervous because I read Leigh Bardugo's Six of Crows and Crooked Kingdom like first. I just read those and I loved them so much, but I haven't read her earlier trilogy, which everybody is like is good, but it's not as good as her latest books. And I'm like, I read that out of order.
Yeah.
So this one, at least I knew coming into it that I had heard a lot of people say the same thing. And I was like, well, I haven't read any of them yet, so I can at least do myself a favor and start with the earlier series.
Yeah.
And I'm still enjoying it. I'm not mad at it. I still like it. I see no reason not to continue and finish it out, especially, you know, having read the next book and enjoyed it more than this one. So I'm hoping they continue to just keep getting better and we learn more about the characters. I will say, guys, the next book, oh my gosh.
Yeah, I saw your Instagram stories and I was like, oh my God, I need to finish the novella first and then go on to the rest of them.
Yeah, I think publication order, I did figure out that it was like the first two books, then in the novellas, and then she went on to Air of Fire, I think. Because the back of Air of Fire has praise for the novellas. So I think it was like the first two books, then the novellas published, and then she continued the series from there, which is why people suggested reading it in that order. And I was like, no way. I'm starting them with the novellas.
Yeah.
They're so good.
Well, and it's funny you guys mention other series, just for the sheer fact that when I was reading this, I was imagining the landscapes in terms of series by different people. Like, the castle scenes and the practice scenes were totally King's Landing from Game of Thrones.
Yeah.
The jail was totally the underworld in The Matrix. So, like, that's what I was seeing in my head during this, where I'm like, okay, I can kind of see what the scenes would look like, which probably, you know, in the end helped me score it a little higher of, like, I can see, you know, see what this would look like if this were a movie or a TV show as well.
Which it is going to be. They are making a TV show out of it.
Yes. And I cannot wait till that comes out. I cannot wait.
Yeah, me either. I'm excited about it. But I think that, Lauren, like you were saying, I think that that's one of the things that kind of did also upset me a little bit about this book, is that I felt like if I can be picturing a different place while she's describing something happening in a world she created, then she's not describing it that well.
Mm-hmm. And that could be very, very well it. Just the funny thing is, in my head, it might have been these other places, but at the same time, it was like, no, it's the jail is like this place. No, it's not King's Landing. Anderland is, I totally just killed that word, but the castle is totally just, this is how the castle is functioning. This is how it would look if they put it on TV, not necessarily.
Yeah. Because I think that other than explaining that the castle was glass and that she didn't feel comfortable like walking on the glass, right? So she stayed in like the old stone part. Like, other than describing the castle as being glass and then these gardens that they walked through or this area that she ran in every morning, there wasn't a ton of descriptive language about the actual world. You know, like, they went over different locations and location changes and kind of the interior of her bedroom and then these passageways and this underground kind of area that she found down there. But other than that, there wasn't a ton of description about where they were. I think I knew more about what the mines probably looked like that she was in than the castle that she spent the majority of the book in.
Yeah, she did go in detail about the mines and a little bit in the tunnel in the room that she was in when she saw the sarcophagus of the king and queen. Mm-hmm. She was more detailed in that than she was in the story as a whole.
Yeah.
But I wonder if she was more in detail on what would have been, say, the smaller spaces? Because I always imagine castles to be kind of grander, especially in these kind of fantasy kind of worlds. Mm-hmm. Maybe when she's in jail or when she's down by the sarcophagus, those would have been much smaller type of spaces, and maybe she's going into detail on those for the sheer fact of the smaller spaces are going to be what's sticking with Selena, since she spent so much time getting brutalized in these kind of areas, and she spent so much time just doing hard labor and living in these kind of areas.
Yeah. Absolutely. I can see how that could be true, you know, that they're going to more vividly be described and stick out if they're places that she connects with emotionally.
Mm-hmm. And then, like, also, I understand that this is the first book. And you know how mm-hmm. you had, like, the first book? It just set just the foundation for it, just to give you enough to continue with the series. So that may be a part of it as well.
Yeah. And I think, again, my disappointment over that is probably definitely contingent upon the novellas and the fact that I got such rich world building in those.
Right, yeah.
I spoiled myself.
Okay, let's see if we have any questions. Let's check Twitter.
Just because it's going off, I want to see if I'm getting any tweets.
I have not seen... I've been trying to keep Facebook up on my phone, and I have not seen any questions there on the tagging on the hashtags.
There's one on Twitter. It's a James White. Then the username is BossHog2133, and it says, "Hi guys, I'm excited about this." I guess I'm trying to say that they're excited about we're doing this, and they ask, "Were we able to connect with the characters well because they wasn't?" Thanks. Hashtag Java and Librarians. So, we kind of mentioned it earlier on in the story. For me, the only character I was slightly able to connect with the most, well, out of my favorite character was K.O. with that one. Dorian and Kalina, a little bit more. I read her when I read the novella. I was able to understand her a little bit more in this one as mm-hmm. well. But I couldn't connect to her like I wanted to, so...
Yeah, I think one of the characters that I most wish I could have related to, because I was really fine with kind of all of them, but the Nehemia, I guess is how you pronounce her name, I wanted to understand her more because I felt like she had the potential to be such a rich character and a good ally for Selena, and you can tell she's there with her own agenda, which I appreciated. I could feel it. She was going to be a really strong character. But you also always got this sense that she was like withholding information and holding stuff back, which we talked about as well with the words and her understanding things that she wasn't sharing. So for me, I think that that was probably my largest disconnect with the character, was because I think I saw so much potential in her for what she was probably going to become in later books, but she wasn't there yet. She wasn't like willing to share those things yet. So I think for me, she was the character that I didn't connect with the most. But everybody else, I was fine with. You know, again, you're just kind of learning about these characters, so I was okay kind of taking it as it came, but I was a little bit bummed out by her development and like the reveals of her character.
I think the one that I disconnected with most was definitely Dorian, because like I said earlier, he was just the one that seemed most like the high school kid that we all knew, and I mean, I was the nerdy kid, so that was always the kid I wanted to shake, because it's like they were the ones going to class and trying to get us to do everything else for them. Though I will say this, I liked the female characters because, I mean, yeah, Nehemia was withholding information, but she was such like a powerful character where she, like you said, she had her own agenda and she was there and actually making a friend in a really crappy situation. Same with Selena. She was making a friend. And again, just, you know, she was a freaking assassin. Like, how can you not love the lone girl in the entire book that's taken on the boys and is an assassin?
Absolutely.
Yeah, when you say that, it made me think of a part in the book when the guy was mocking her and she kicked, this was at the end competition. She kicked him and said, and threw her handkerchief at him. And Kat was like, "Was that necessary?" And she was like, "Yes."
I love that. I love that.
Actually, one of the notes that I took for the book and then ended up deleting, because I was like, this, I don't want to say this because it's going to end up sounding stupid, but as I was reading, I just ended up taking the note of girl assassin kicks boy butt.
It's true. I love that, like, slowly, like, people throughout the competition realized who she was as this, like, famed, notorious assassin. I loved Nox's reveal, you know, when he found out, he was like,
Yeah, she's like, is your name out?
But I love that gut response to her. Like, just her name. I love that response to her name. It was gratifying for me. No, so I can only imagine for her how good that felt.
I will say this, though. To me, it was awesome that Nox had that reaction, but it was still like, we will be best friends forever. Mm-hmm. Where the main guy that she was competing against was just a giant, giant jerk. But he had to be told by somebody else who she was. Mm-hmm. Whereas, like, if you were as awesome as you think you are, you wouldn't have been told. You would have figured this out 30 pages ago.
I think, like, she's the only female within the bunch as well.
Oh, for sure. Yeah.
And so, like, you know that the world's greatest assassin is a female. Kind of like, put it together a little bit. Like, all of us is here, but this is one female. Obviously, there's more to her than what we see.
And she's a horrible liar. So you can just see her bumbling through that lie at the beginning of, I'm Tiffany and I steal jewels.
She was so mad. I loved how mad she got that had to be her cover story and that she just couldn't go in, like, proud of this reputation that she had built. Was like, yeah, like, if I had built myself up to be this, like, world famous assassin, I'd be pissed too if I had to be like, I steal shiny things.
Yeah, I mean, oh man, it was totally I steal shiny things. And I mean, you would assume, like, if she's this world famous assassin, they could have come up with a better cover story. Not, you know, I steal jewels. They could have been like, yeah, I broke in. The reason I'm here is they caught me breaking into the armory. Or, you know, something that's a little more in line with her and less of a lie, but still.
Yeah. And I understand it. Like, I understand the cover story of wanting her to look like this, like, simpering little girl that just liked shiny things, because then it was a hands up for her later on. So, like, I get it. But I can also, like, see from her as a character standpoint just how just demeaning and aggravating that must have been, and how much joy she took in each one of those reveals as they realized who she was. And she was like, what now?
Yeah.
Yeah, because at that point she put in, what, 10 years of training plus actually being an assassin, plus another, like, 2 years in jail. I mean, she worked hard for that reputation. And
wait until you read the novellas, Lauren.
Yeah, and, like, and she
you have no idea.
I think she was doing sword fighting, and she literally broke her right hand to learn how to sword fight in her left hand.
Like, in the door. They mentioned that in the book.
Yeah. I was like, girl, what's up with you?
Yeah.
She did, like, she did what she had to do to get that name, like her. I said,
that
her
is
level.
Commitment right there. Just complete and utter commitment.
Yep.
Yeah, she was committed all the way.
I'm about her. Even through the next book, I'm about her. It was pretty awesome.
I think I'm going to start the next book tonight because I got to see how the story keeps going. I just put the novella and the second one together.
How many did I mention characters from book one in next books? Like, are they still including, like, the, I mean, not necessarily Dorian, because clearly he's royal family and she's working for them. So obviously they're going to keep him, but, like, Nahemium and Kale and.
Yep. It's not like there's no time lapse. They kind of, like, pick up right where the last one left off. So I think she's maybe had, like, a job or two before the next one starts. But it's the same group of people.
Okay, good. Because, like, you get with a lot of fantasy books, they keep adding and adding characters. It's a lot to try to keep up with.
Yeah. No, there was, like, one or two, like, larger player that got introduced. Maybe three. But for the most part, it's, like, the same setting, same, you know, group of people. And they're just building. You know, she's just building more on that world and what her situation is currently. And some more, like, plot twists and reveals. They were really good.
Okay. Okay, let's see if we have any more questions. I'm gonna check Twitter again.
But you guys definitely have to let me know as soon as you start reading.
I will.
Oh yeah, I will totally let you know when I start reading the other stuff. Like I said, just for the the only reason I haven't is for the sheer fact that this is one of like two or three different book things that I have going on at like the exact same time. So it ends up being, I need to read this for Jaws and the Librarians. I need to read this for Rainbow Reads. I need to, and it just becomes, well, I'm on YA book number 5 for the month.
Yeah. Someone said, this is Bill Smith. They said, I think that reading the Assassin's Blade really helps with the world building. It really should be read first.
Mm-hmm.
And they also said, will you be doing a live check for the next book?
Sorry, Elle. I dropped the ball. They clearly are more on top of the world building than I am.
But the next book, I mean, I'm up for it. But Julie's already, you're like almost done with it. Or if not, you're done with it, right?
I'm done the next book, yeah. And I'm on to the following. So I'm on to Air of Fire. So I'm done, I guess, not counting the novellas. I'm done the second book and I just started the third. But my like to be read video, like so for my BookTube channel, my goal for this month was to binge read her entire series. So that was already my goal for the month. And it just so happened that you guys picked the first book anyway for this chat. So my fear was really until we got closer to the chat, I didn't want to get too far ahead and then like mix up details in my head of where the first book left off and then spoil things for people that hadn't read them. Mm-hmm. So I tried to hold off and then I was like, I can't wait anymore. So I just kept reading. But yeah, so my goal for this month is to finish out her series, which probably won't happen. So I'll probably continue it into February because the beginning of 2017 is her entire Throne of Glass and then her following series, the Court of Thorns and Roses and Mist and Fury. So I'm going to be reading nothing but Sarah J. Maas for like the next month and a half.
Yeah. But I don't know. Like, well, if we do the second book, we'll let you guys know if we're going to do a live show on that one or not. And she also said, did you enjoy Crown of Midnight?
I
think this was Julie.
I did. I loved Crown of Midnight. I did read it above, I think, again, because I'm already in that. Appreciated and understood them continuing on with the magic system and everything. So I appreciate it the way that she built on what happened in the first class and the character developments and plot twists. So I actually enjoyed Crown of Midnight more than the first class.
Yeah, I hear a lot of people saying that they enjoyed the second one way more than the first one. And I think it's just one in the series that was their least favorite. I think that was Air of Fire. I'm not sure. But
just started, awesome.
Really? It is? So we'll see.
I just started Air of Fire. So we'll have to wait and see how it is. And it's huge. I think it's like 530 pages or something. So it's a lot larger than the other first two books because Crown of Midnight was pretty short. So
yeah,
we'll see. I've already committed to binging.
Yeah, I think the last book that just came out, Empire of Storms, was 600 something pages. So
yeah, but it looks smaller. Like it's physically smaller than the other books because it's on that like thinner Bible page. Like it's on like thinner paper. So it doesn't look as intimidating as it like actually is probably, but I'm also used to reading, you know, George R. R. Martin in giant books, so 500 deal.
Lately I've been reading books about that big too because I've been working. Most recent book I just finished was Hero by Perry Moore. So I mean, the nice thing is I didn't have to worry about getting things mixed up because I went from a very much a thick fantasy book to a fun book about that's also kind of thick about a gay teenage superhero. So very, very different things.
Yeah, so you're not gonna get those plots mixed up.
Okay, let's see if they have anyone else. And she said thanks.
Oh, you're welcome.
Okay. And I think that.
And if you want to know more, I think I go into more detail about Crown of Midnight in my Goodreads report, and then I'll have more about it in my wrap up for the month on Pages and Pens. I'll have more of my thoughts there. But
definitely watch Pages and Pens one of these days, guys, because I've watched a few of Julie's episodes and they're pretty fantastic. So
yeah, I was, I think this was a while back, but I, for some reason, I could not sleep that night, and I think it was like around maybe 9 o'clock that night, and I was just looking at some videos and I saw Julie's videos coming. I binge watched almost all of those videos that night. Like, I'm so serious, and they were really good. And actually, you're the first booktuber that I ever commented on or even contacted to do anything like this.
That's awesome.
Yep.
I love that. I love that so much. I honestly have no clue how my channel grew as fast as it did, but I'm so thankful it did. And the comments all the time are phenomenal, and the emails and the private messages, and I have like the best people in the world watching my channel. I love it.
Yep. Okay. Let's see. So there's no more on the YouTube chat. Let me check Twitter one more time. Laura, you have Facebook up?
I do, and unfortunately nothing has been on the Facebook hashtag. And just so we get this out there, the hashtag does trend on, I believe you said, Instagram and Twitter and Facebook.
Yep. I'll check Instagram one last time. But honestly, first one, guys, so I'm super proud of it.
Yeah, I am too. And I mean, I also realize that there's a whole lot of other stuff going on, not just on Facebook, but just in the world. Like,
if you, there is?
Yeah, I know, right? so crazy.
Yeah, I think we have a lot of distracted people right now. But also, just if you appreciated and enjoyed this, you know, chat with us, definitely, you know, stay tuned. I think at the end of this, we should probably announce what book we're doing next in case people want to read it with us so that they can get involved in the chat with us. And then if you enjoyed it, you know, be sure to share and tell your friends so that you can join us next month.
If you're not afraid of spoilers, feel free to come in here because we totally will be spoiling books. But, I mean, we would love just to chat with you if you guys are reading the book with us.
Yeah. So thank you all for tuning in for this. Wait, Lauren, go ahead and talk about the next book that we're reading for next month.
Yeah.
So for February, we're going to be reading Save Me the Waltz by Zelda Fitzgerald. And she is actually F. Scott Fitzgerald's wife. Save Me the Waltz is the only novel that she wrote that got published. She did some poetry. She made some art. And I'm not going to go too much into detail about Zelda Fitzgerald right now because there's so much I want to that I've actually read about her and F. Scott that I'll probably mention in the next book YouTube show. But like I said, it's Save Me the Waltz. It's by Zelda Fitzgerald. And just remember, everything that she and F. Scott wrote ended up being fiction, but also semi-autobiographical about their relationship and the people around them.
Okay, that sounds fun.
Yeah, and our hashtag works not just for questions, right? If they buddy read with us or they're reading it during the month, they can contact us through that hashtag as well to chat about the book.
Yep,
totally.
That'd be cool. We don't have a date picked yet for next month, but once we do, we'll let you all know in plenty of time as well. Mm-hmm. But we thank you so much for tuning in on our first show. I think it was really nice. It was really good.
It was fun. I enjoyed talking about this book. I'm glad I finally got to it.
And I'm glad you guys mentioned it because I probably would have never grabbed Throne of Glass without you guys being so gung-ho for it.
Yeah, I bought the book last year, but never picked it up to read it.
I legitimately have every single one of her books, and I had never read any of them. They've been sitting there, so it's time that I finally started them.
Yep. Well, good show, ladies.
Yay!
And happy reading.